Yeah, so this morning I had some not very good news that Pastor Dave wasn't feeling good, as you've heard, and I was requested if I could actually step in and share. So bear with me, okay? Because I did not prepare anything, okay? But one thing I'm confident is that God is going to speak to you. You know? The truth is the Spirit of God abides within us. And as we walk with God, as we study His Word, He builds Himself in us. So every time we really have something to share. So let this be an example for the rest of us that never feel like you cannot share the gospel because you didn't prepare for that evangelism trip you found yourself in when you got to Walmart, okay? You always have something. Amen? Amen. So we read, our scripture reading came from Luke chapter 1 from verse 26 to verse 38. And I'm going to talk about Jesus and you. So Pastor Gary last week spoke about the prophecy that came before about the birth of Christ. And as we read scripture, we know that this is God's way of doing things. He says it first before it comes to pass. So as you receive the word, something comes to happen, you know. So for over 2,000 years, he was speaking about the coming Messiah. And for 2,000 years, he was preparing himself a vessel for 2,000 years. So all the generations of Moses, the generations of Abraham, they all expected the birth of a Messiah. All they needed to do was to just receive that word. And that word just came finding its way. And in Isaiah, he puts some more flesh to the whole idea that he who is coming is actually God himself. So the whole of our Bible is really about Jesus. In fact, John clears it up. He says that in the beginning was the Word. So the Word of God is the very embodiment of Jesus Christ. So our passion for Jesus, our love for Jesus is not complete if we do not receive His Word. So let's go to Mary. So Mary is a virgin girl. Here an angel shows up and says, well, I got a message for you from the Lord. You know, you're going to conceive and you're going to have a child. And the first thing that hits Mary is, how can that happen seeing I'm a virgin, I don't even have a husband. I'm not married yet. And the angel tells him that the Spirit of God will overshadow you and you will conceive and what you will give birth to shall be called the Son of God. But what has that to teach us? Mary had to receive that word. When a word comes to us, we have one responsibility to receive that word if it is going to have any effect in our lives. Because when we receive it, it conceives something inside of us. I mean, God would have just magically gotten Mary to conceive. Why did an angel have to actually bring a word to her? And the story tells us that immediately she said that, be it unto me according to your word. The angel left because the word had taken root. Amen? Amen. So what has this to do with us as believers? We are called the children of God and we take this from the person of Christ. So Jesus was fully human, but he was also called the Son of God. So many people tend to say that, well, Jesus was God. But the truth is, when he lived on this earth, he was completely human. Jesus was human. I mean, he used to walk from town to town. He probably had some smelly body odor. No kidding. Isaiah 52 describes Jesus. It says that he was so deformed that it was even hard to recognize him as a human being by the time he hung on that cross. Before, in Isaiah 53, we are told that he bore our sicknesses. He literally took all the pain, all the sin of the world in his mortal body. I mean, we read passages in scripture where he slept in a boat because he was tired. We see him hungry because he emptied himself and came and lived like a human being. Now, somebody would say, why? I mean, why would he just give it all up? Because there was a deal our great grandfather made in the Garden of Eden with the devil. He yielded himself to the devil, and the only way we would take back our rightful place in the earth was for us to defeat the devil, but none of us could. None of us could. And the only way God would restore his relationship with us had to be through a human agent. That's why Jesus really had to become a human being. And so, God's word that created all things stripped himself of all the glory and of all the power and of everything he was, and became a human being and dwelt among us, and walked in weakness and died in weakness. Why? That God would reconcile you and me. Amen? But the greater part of this is that this word of God was received, and those people that received that word, it became salvation for them. See, when Jesus died, he did not just die for a few of us. See, we are seated here, just a few of us, but I guarantee you, the people in those apartments, the people in Saudi Arabia, the people all around the world, Jesus paid the ultimate price for every single one of them, including the ones that are going to hell. He paid for, he overpaid. He really did. Because he's God. So he paid for everyone's sin, but it's only those that will receive this gift that benefit from it. And that just works exactly with the word, that when God sends his word to us, if we receive it, then it's beneficial to us. If we reject it, then it's not going to have any effect on us. In Romans 10, he says that this word of God is the same word that builds faith within us to be able to attain to all the things that God has prepared for us. He says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God in Romans chapter 10. So I'm here to say that we are called to take on the personality of Christ. It's not just symbolic that we are children of God. We really are. We've been adopted, and everything that's the Lord's is ours. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to us. Do you know that the most important, expensive thing ever was Christ Jesus? And yet God gave him for you and me to reveal how much he loves you. And so if you and me are to be alive, whether in this life or in the life to come, we can only do it in Christ Jesus. Now, the excitement there is here, that for most of us, we sometimes are bogged down with a lot of condemnation because we are challenged with our own imperfections. We are challenged with things we always try to get right and we never get them right. You know, you don't want to gossip, but every so often, there you are, gossiping. You don't want to quarrel, but somehow they rub you the wrong way and you yell at them and, you know, and suddenly you just hate yourself and you're thinking, some Christian I am. But here's the thing. God has not called you to save yourself. You cannot do it, I guarantee you. You can try, but you'll never get it. The best part, God is yet to find a perfect person to work for him. In your imperfection, you are perfect for God's use.
The whole idea of being a Christian has nothing to do with your goodness. It has everything to do with His grace. The whole idea of us being children of God is a work of God. It's a covenant He made with Himself. And He gave us the benefits. The truth is, God is not angry at you. He's not angry at me. He's not angry at us. Frankly, if we never did any other thing but just believed on Christ, we'd still make it to glory. So when we do good as believers, we are just responding to all the goodness God has poured over our lives. We're not trying to earn anything. We have it. We have it. I have it. You know, whether I'm going to spend the rest of my life preaching the gospel or not, or doing all those fancy things, has nothing to do with what Christ did. He paid for my sins once and for all. And I love this verse. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." We are alive only in Christ. Outside of Christ, we got nothing. Outside of Christ, there is no hope, no matter how good we get. Outside of Christ, we are dead. Amen? We are the children of God. And how do we become children of God? It's simple. The Bible says, most famous verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only, that whosoever does what?" See, the contact point is just to believe. How hard is that? You would need somebody to help you and not believe that. You would need a lot of faith to not believe something like that. It's so simple. It's so simple. And yet, a lot of the world is perishing. Why? Because it's probably too simple for some people. That's how we connect. And so he says here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, and he says that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. I'm just trying to show you who you are. You are not anybody. You are not. You're not only human. You are one third the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says when you accepted Christ, His Spirit came inside of you. One third of you is perfect, is God Himself living inside of you. One third of you. Which means there is a part of you that will never sin. There is a part of you that is as perfect as Christ is in glory. And that's your spirit. So in your spirit, God has accomplished everything you'll ever need. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What that really means is that God gave us the complete package in Christ Jesus. Amen? So I want to encourage you today that you're not anybody. Don't just carry yourself like you are any. You are not. You are not. You are special. Heaven rejoices over you. In Zephaniah chapter 3, it says that God rejoices over you with a song. I want you to imagine that for a moment. God is up there dancing, dancing, dancing when he thinks about you. You know, God loves you so much. You are special. But how are you going to live the God life today? You gotta do what Mary did. You gotta be able to receive His word. You know how often we sing how good it is to trust in Jesus and to take Him at His word, and we rarely do? Really, we need to begin taking God at His word, because John chapter 6 verse 63 says that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. As you get those words in your spirit, for people who want change, it comes effortlessly. The truth is, before I got saved, I wasn't a good person. And I cannot even tell you that after I got saved, I did things to get better. Frankly, there was nothing I could do. When you get saved, you cannot fix the screw-ups of your past. You really can't. But God accepts you nonetheless. So when he receives you, all you need to do is receive whatever he's got for you. The Bible, I mean, literally tells us that it is him who works in us both to will and to also do. So as a believer, when I come to Christ and I let his word fill me up, when I have desires to do good, it is not I who desires those things. It is God in me that is desiring these things. And when I really go ahead and do those good things, it is not I but God in me that does those things. So where is the glory? It's all God, amen? Yeah, Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, you can look it up. It says that it is him who works in you both to will and to do. So if you're not perfect, you are perfect for God to use you. He's only looking for your availability, amen? He's only looking for availability. So when you meet those people out there who do not know the Lord, tell them they just do not know what kind of deal they're missing, really. Yeah, this is the deal. This is the real deal. You know, to know that, all you need to do is to accept, and it is yours. All you need to do, I got $1 million and I want to give it to you, and all you got to do is say yes and receive it, and it's yours. How hard is that? How hard is that? We are children of God, and the word of God is the way we begin to grow in this knowledge. The truth is, the day you got saved, you became everything you will ever be throughout eternity in your spirit. But while you're still living in this world, there are things that are going to happen. You're going to get sick. This is going to happen. You're going to deal with all kinds of challenges. And the Bible is there to reveal to you who you are. It is the word of God. As you begin eating on it and meditating on it, it will begin to reveal inside of you who you really are in order to live the victorious life that God designed for you. So in Romans chapter 12, Paul says something interesting. He says that, verse 2, he says that, be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Now you got to realize that you are spirit, soul, and body. In your spirit, you're perfect, but your soul is full of all the things, all your experiences, all the concepts, all the belief systems that you have harbored and you have built on for a very long time. And so in your spirit, if you want healing, God has put it there in Christ Jesus. If you want to prosper in life, God has put it in your spirit. But your mind is like a bottleneck. It's still hindering everything God has prepared for you. Another person says, well, how do I even know God's will? Well, that's what the Bible is for, okay? See, you cannot pray without faith to expect anything. But faith comes from a place of knowledge. You have to know what God's will is if your faith is to be complete. So how do I know that what I'm praying for is God's will? Well, I wanna get in the Bible and find out what the Bible says about it. If the Bible says it's God's will, that's all I need. Now I can pray in faith and expect God to do what he said he would do. So you see, you are superhuman. You are. Superman's got nothing on you. Right? I hope this morning I could stir you up to know that you're not anybody. You are special. And victory is yours. We used to sing a song that we have victory in Jesus, but that's the truth. But what if I don't feel like it? Who cares how you feel? The word of God says you have victory. All you need to do is believe it, and then your feelings will fall in line.
When Jesus told us to love our enemies, didn't he realize we would not feel like loving them? I mean, they're our enemies. Hello? They don't want anything good for us. They just want bad things for us. And somehow he says, well, you can do it. You can love them. But what if I don't feel like it? Well, love your enemies. Which means it's an act of your will. It's even believing really is an act of your will. You remember how Thomas said that I will not believe unless I see and touch and, you know. He said, I will not. So you can deliberately choose to trust the word of God. The word of God is like seed. When it's planted, it needs to stay in the ground. Things need to happen to it before it begins to produce results. But if you don't have any seed, it may rain all at once. When the harvest time comes, you'll still have nothing because you have nothing in your heart. The first parable that Jesus said that if you don't understand this parable, you will not understand any other parable as in Mark chapter 4. And it was about a sower who went to sow seed. And he said that the seed is the word of God and the soil is the hearts of men. You know, the word of God is seed. Keep hiding it in your heart. You will be surprised the things it will be able to accomplish for you effortlessly. One friend of mine calls it effortless change. Do you want to be victorious this year? Fall in love with the Bible. Fall in love with the Word of God. Oh, but I don't really understand it. Well, when you plant a seed in the morning, you don't go back in the evening and have a harvest. It doesn't work like that. It's going to take some time. So, who cares if you don't understand it? Let it be in there. At the right time, it will come back. I had concepts that were given to me in school, and I never understood them so many years ago. And one day, I'm not even thinking about it, I'm at a job somewhere so many thousand miles away from where they were taught to me, and it comes to me and I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is what Mr. Johnson meant the whole time? I mean, how could I not have known that? The word of God will come to you, but it has to work with something. It is the sword of the Spirit. When the Spirit is going to do things in your life, you need something to work with, and it's usually the Word of God. Fall in love with the Word this year. Don't go a day without, try to memorize Scripture. Memorize Scripture for yourself. Isaiah 55 says that His Word will not return empty, but it will accomplish that for which He has sent it, and it will prosper therein. In other words, if your prayers have to become powerful, if they have to begin bringing results, they have to be built around the word because he has guaranteed he will watch over his word and perform it. So if I have his word, then I know that I get exactly what I want. He said he shall give me the desires of my heart if I delight myself in him. And how do I do that? Knowing about him, studying, spending time in his word. Amen? I believe, God, that this year we are going to be very prosperous. I am excited. Somebody tells me, how do you really know the year could? Well, I believe God's will for us is always good. James says that every good and perfect thing comes from God. Amen? So, we are victorious this year, and we are going to go out declaring that God is with us, declaring that God is for us, declaring that if He be for us, who shall be against us? And we are going to take this love, and we are going to share it with friends, and we are going to tell them, you don't know what you're missing. Jesus paid the full price. Come in. Come in. Come in, the doors are wide open, the blessings of God are endless, and you can be a part of that in Christ Jesus. Amen? God bless you.